Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you are good. Your love endures forever. We, your people, have come here this morning because of your great love for us and because we love you, Lord Jesus. We long to be with you, to draw near to you, to be in your presence, to have your Spirit minister in us and through us. We long, Lord God, to have you shape us by the working of your Spirit and your Word more and more into the image of Jesus. Let the light and love of Christ would shine through us, O Lord God. Teach us to love, Father. Teach us to love you and to love one another, that we may know you and that the world may experience you through us, Lord. Father, this time in your word, would you please anoint it? We come to your word in faith and with expectation of hearing your voice, Lord. An expectation of meeting with you, our living Creator God. So please come now, Lord Jesus. Manifest yourself and your glory in our midst. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So continuing on in the book of 1 John, as we began to look at it, we saw, or we kind of mentioned, that there are two main themes in the book of 1 John. The first theme is that God is light. God is light. And the second one is that God is love. These two themes weave in and out of each other and they link. And we'll see that in our passage this morning. They actually link very, very, very tightly. And the way that John plays out these two is God is light is teaching us about Christian belief, the content of who God is, His character, His nature, and so therefore what we are to believe about Him. And then God is love is about our Christian living, how we go about functioning as believers in light of the truth of who God is, of who Christ is. God is love and God is light. In our passage this morning, as in many other passages that we'll see throughout this letter, those two themes come together. And it's beginning, this passage and next week's passage are a little bit of a transition. So he's starting to cover these topics and not always use the words. So it's not always easy just to pick out and say, oh, check off, here's the word light, check off, here's the word love. He's going to speak a little bit more generally in this passage here, but that's because it's part of this transitional passage. So please open your Bibles with me to the book of 1 John, chapter 2. This morning, Lord willing, we'll look at verses 7 through 11. 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. I don't hear the pages, Mike. Maybe you were already there. You'd already flipped there? Excellent. Well done, Colleen. Colleen's been waiting there. All week she's had her Bible open, waiting for us. I love it, sister. God bless you, dear. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in Him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. This is God's word. John's referring to a commandment here, and interestingly, in this passage, he doesn't call it out explicitly. He doesn't use the explicit words. Now he's going to describe it and describe what it's not and describe what it should be. But he's not going to use the specific words. But he is referring to a command that is very familiar to his audience and should be to us too. And that is that we, as God's people, as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, that we are commanded, we must love one another. We love one another. And if we think that's an obvious, simple thing, yep, know that, check, move on, I think we've missed the heart of the gospel if we think we can move on from that. For that is where we are called to and where we must dwell all the days of our lives. Working, striving, longing, praying, hoping, and living into loving one another. Well, first in verses 7 and 8, John refers to Jesus' command. And actually, it's an old command and a new command. It's a command that they've had since the Old Testament, but then Jesus calls that it is a new command. It says, I am writing to you not a new command, but an old commandment. It's one you've had from the beginning. Then he says, but it's also a new command. Now, can you remember, does that language sound familiar? A new command. Right? That's Jesus speaking. A new command I give you. In fact, we can turn there in the book of John, the Gospel of John now, chapter 13. The Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. This is part of Jesus' upper room discourse. So this is his last message to his disciples before he's arrested. These beautiful chapters here, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Really, beginning and the end of 13. John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus says, speaking to his disciples, a new commandment, there's the phrase, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, so also are you to love one another. By this, by our loving one another, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Here is the core of Jesus' command to us. Now, it's not excluding loving God, and we'll see that in just a minute also, that those two commands go together. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. That we as believers are to love one another. And folks, the Lord means it. This is serious. And in fact, he says, the way that the world is going to see and know that we're Christians, and then in chapter 17, he'll say, the way that the world is going to know that Jesus is the Son of God is through how we love each other, how we treat each other, right here in this room, and other believers and other Christians around the world. It's how we behave towards one another, not just in passing, but in the essence of our relating to one another, the essence of our relationships with one another. That God desires this place to be just overflowing in love for one another. Active, involved, sustained, ridiculous, over-the-top love. I was so blessed this week, and thank you all for providing me with this week to be at a pastor's retreat up at Gordon-Conwell. It was an absolute blessing. The Lord was so good. One of the days we had a great chance to have lunch with the president of Gordon-Conwell, and he had a, it was a sort of a funny quote, but one that has really stuck with me. He's saying that he said that the non-believers, for them, church that loves one another is the most powerful thing. The thought that someone who is so broken and feels so lonely and feels so despised, that as they read the scriptures and they say, if I become a Christian, these people have to love me. You're required to. And he says that is the most radical thing in the world. That if I, in my scared selfishness and my sinfulness and afraid, that if I come in here, you all, whoever walks in, that we all have to love them. And of course, it's not supposed to be a have to, but it is a command that we love one another, that we are to be characterized by love, that the world, and you know, we're always talking about the divide in our country right now. Right? The political divide, social divide, economic divide, everywhere we go. Right? It's just there's this split country. We can't even have conversations with each other anymore because we're just so divided. You kind of go to your little corner of like people, and then you can talk there. Otherwise, you can't have any conversations with anybody. But if we love one another in the midst of those differences, as I've always said, I know you'll be shocked, but some of us here voted Republican. Some of us here voted Democratic or Democrat. Right? Some maybe didn't vote. I know you're like, what? That's impossible. Who are they? Let's get them out of here. No, of course not. Of course not. Right? In fact, on both sides, they did it because they love the Lord. What? How can that be? But if we love one another, the world divided will look at us with such confusion and wonder. As we continue in the midst of our differences, as we continue in the midst of when we hurt each other, to forgive and love each other. The world sees nothing like that. The world has nothing like that at all. It is only in Christ and in His call, His command to His church that we have that level of love. Just as Jesus loved up us, and likewise we are to love one another. That's the John 13 passage. How do we love one another? The same way Jesus loved us. What did He do? He went to the cross for us. He laid down His life for us. And not just as a one-time event, but He dedicated His life every moment of every day to us. That is His love. That is the love of Jesus for us and the love to which He calls, He commands us to have towards one another. Jesus' command to us. Now, it's an old command. So that was where He said this is a new command, a new commandment. But it's an old command because it's throughout the Scriptures. Right? You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words I command to you shall be on your heart." Jesus then takes those words, the old command, to love God with everything within us. Not just Sundays, not just when we're in trouble, but to love the Lord with every ounce of our being. Which describes how worthy of love, how lovely God truly is. Jesus then takes those words, and in throughout all of the Gospels, but for example, we'll just go to Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus says, He's being asked by a lawyer, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus says to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." Quoting that passage right there from Deuteronomy chapter 6. "This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Summarizes the entire Old Testament. That we love the Lord and we love our neighbors. how much more so do we love one another? It's the commandment Jesus gives to us before he goes to the cross. It's the last command he tells us. Love one another. Love one another. So it is an old command, but it is the new command. Both are true. Now in verse 8 here, under this command, when he's describing it as the new command, he's describing a little bit of why it's new. First of all, it's new because Jesus spoke it. So he says, at the same time, it's a new command that I'm writing you, which is true in him. In Jesus, the old command becomes new because he's expanding it to loving one another, and he's fulfilling it because he's showing us that he is the one who loves. He's showing us what love is. So the new commandment is in him because he is the one who is demonstrating it, who is fulfilling it. But then there's this wonderful phrase after those two words, in him, and in you. Let me read that whole sentence again. At the same time, it's a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in you. Because the darkness is passing away and true light is already shining. Because if we are born again, the Holy Spirit dwells within us and He is leading us into love. We can't try to love one another on our own. Yeah, we can have shadows of love for one another, and we have some images of what love is because God has made His invisible qualities known throughout all of creation. So even the non-believers can have a foggy picture of love. But apart from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it's not fulfilled in us. But now, because of the Spirit, it is. We are empowered to love one another. I no longer have to put me first. I no longer have to worry about getting ahead, making a big name for myself, making sure that I come out as number one, making sure that I even get a fair share, an even shake of things. I can give of myself because I know that I am a child of God. Lee and I were just talking about this morning before service a little bit, talking about heaven and how beautiful it is. And as believers, that frees us up here and now, knowing that heaven is coming. No more pain, no more limping or shots or surgeries, right? No more cancer, no more diseases, no more tears, no more heartbreak of broken relationships and parents going astray and children going astray and being betrayed by friends. None of that anymore. Just worshiping Jesus. And so, the here and now, we can be free to sacrificially love one another. It is in Him and it is in us. Love one another. Well, now He's going to give an example. He's going to give two examples, as He often does, give the negative and the positive examples here. He's going to bring this down. And He's not, in these first verses here, He's just talking about generically the command. And again, He didn't name the command, right? But now He's going to go into the specifics about what it looks like to break this command and what it looks like to keep this command. First, he describes breaking the command, which is abiding in darkness. Abiding in darkness. Remember, God is light. And so the opposite, to reject God, is to abide, to dwell, to live, to walk in darkness. This is in verses 9 and then again in verse 11. Verse 9 says, "Whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness." Verse 11. "But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Now, John, through the Holy Spirit, uses very strong language here. Whoever hates their brother. Very few of us, I would suspect probably none of us here, are going to say, "Well, I hate my brother. Yes, I do." You probably think, "Oh, that's not something that I have to worry about." But Jesus' strong language here about hating is to show the contrast of how far it is we can go away from love. of what love truly looks like. And if we claim to be a believer, meaning claim to walk in the light, as he says here, but our behavior doesn't demonstrate that, then we truly are in darkness. Our words betray the reality. Our words of saying we're in the light, if we don't walk in the light, they demonstrate that we are not truly in the light. It is our actions which speak louder than words in this case here. And it's hard to think about what would it look like. What does it mean to hate our sisters and our brothers? Well, on one level, it's to not care about them. One, it's not to help them and to think about them and to actively go out and love them. Another way, of course, is to sin against them. Whether we betray their confidence, whether we gossip about them, whether we harbor bitterness in our hearts towards them. And of course, these are all things for which the Lord has died. For our sins, when we do sin, that He has died, that we would be forgiven and be cleansed of our sin. But when we harbor our bitterness, when we nurture that bitterness like a warm fire inside of us, that we secretly love the very thing that we know is wrong and we know is destructive, we don't want to relinquish that disdain, that hatred, that bitterness, the judgment towards another. Jesus is serious in telling us that we are to walk in the light. It's a big deal. I think often our world, we so misunderstand each other. We really, really, especially anyone who is the slightest bit different than we are, who does things the slightest bit differently than we are, whether the way they dress, the way they talk, the way they move, the way they spend their time, the way they spend their money, the way they raise their children, whatever it is, that we're so quick to judge one another. And I often find myself, I know we've talked about this in years past, but you know, when I'm starting to say, you know, I just don't understand why so-and-so, whatever. I don't understand how they can. I don't understand why. If I start by saying, I don't understand, you know what? I should shut up. I don't understand. And there may be something more to the situation than I can really even begin to comprehend. When I start drawing conclusions, I don't understand, therefore I must be right. That's hubris on my part. That's just arrogance, thinking that I'm admitting with my words, though it's just kind of a cliche for us, I don't understand you, but I'm still going to pass judgment anyways. I don't have the full story, but I have the right to judge. And in doing that, we hate one another. We're not walking in the light. The opposite here in verse 10 is that we are the call, the example here of abiding in the light as opposed to abiding in the darkness. And it simply states what we've been talking about here. Whoever loves his brother or sister abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Now, in this description here, there's a proof. How do we know we're in the light? And you know, for some people, that's such a struggle. How do I know I'm really born again? How do I know that I truly am saved? And there's many parts of Scripture that talk to that. This particular one, it's not the only "quote unquote" evidence of our salvation, but it is one of them. It's saying, if you love one another, you walk in the light. that there's a demonstration, there's a fruit that comes out of the one who walks in the light, and that fruit, one of those fruits, is that we love one another. That we're dedicated to one another, that we care for one another, that we actively pursue good for one another. Doesn't that sound like a place you want to be too? Doesn't that sound fantastic? And I'm so grateful for the loving nature that you all show to one another. And I want more. I just want more of that. Whenever I experience that, I just want, oh, when there's a sweetness in the air of our loving one another, there's just a longing for more. That no matter where we've come from, no matter our backgrounds, no matter our cultural backgrounds, no matter our social economic backgrounds, no matter our sinful history, no matter how bad our week was, we come together to fulfill the call of God, the call of Jesus, to love one another. That the world would look and see that and taste the fragrance, because that's part of it. It is part of it. That's, you know, we are here to be a witness to the world. And I know you may say, oh, I don't feel like I'm not an evangelist. I'm not going to go knocking on doors. It's okay. I don't think we need to go knocking on doors, especially in New England. Not sure that's the best way to do evangelism right now in New England. But if your heart is that others would know Jesus, part of that is love the person sitting next to you and behind you and in front of you. And, you know, even across the aisle. Yeah, that's okay. Because by loving one another, the world will know that Jesus is the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? I've heard that described. I think Pastor Dick Germain described that as Jesus' evangelism plan. Be unified and love one another. That's what Jesus calls for evangelism, that we would witness to the world. I'm telling you, the world has no idea anything like that. They just can't even imagine a community that comes together to actively love one another, serve one another humbly, fighting against our own selfish natures to judge and hate one another, actively forgiving one another when, not if, when we hurt each other. Love one another. Jesus' command to us, John reiterates it here again. Jesus says, love one another. Let's pray. Lord, we want to be in the light, for you are in the light. We want to walk in the light in your ways, O God, for you are light. Jesus, you are the light of the world. And therefore, as you shine in our midst, let us love one another. Let us love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves, O God. Fill us with love. Drive out all darkness. Drive out all hatred. Drive out all of our unforgiveness. Forgive us, Lord, for not forgiving our brothers and sisters. Teach us, Lord, to forgive. Teach us to humbly forgive each other. Teach us, O Lord, to love one another. That you would be glorified and the world would see you in our midst. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.